Hi, everybody, and welcome to our weekly recap. This is Femi from Economics Design, and this week I have Josh with me.
Hey.
And we will be actually covering the main Web3 news and everything that happened during the past week. We'll be doing this every Friday, so you guys can follow us on YouTube or Spotify or the podcast platform of your choice. Today, we will be obviously talking about SBF. We cannot have a news coverage without talking about our dear friend and all the issues he's facing. We'll also talk about the fact that Bitcoin is turning 15, and maybe talk about how the SEC is going after PayPal for their stablecoin. We'll definitely cover more news, so stay tuned and welcome again to our weekly recap. We would like to start with sharing some of the main metrics about the industry, and that would give us a good insight on how the overall economy in Web3 is doing. So I'll start by sharing some of the really high level macro level metrics, and I'll share my screen so you guys can see the charts as well. So we're looking at basic stuff from crypto market cap. So the current crypto market cap is at 1.3 trillion, which is pretty positive. We see that it's been pretty stable over the week, and everybody's waiting for the new ETFs to come to see that number go even higher than these values. The overall volume is pretty stable as well. We see that chart that goes up and down, and it was really high during the bull market. It went down, and as you can see, we're actually past the bottom, and now we're towards the start of the new bull run, which is very good news. And this is really not financial advice, by the way. This is just us looking at charts and giving our personal interpretation. In terms of who's triggering this uptick, it is mainly Bitcoin, and we can see it through the Bitcoin dominance chart. Today, Bitcoin is representing 53% of the overall value of crypto, which is pretty huge. The lowest was in the 30%, a few months back, but we see that when the Bitcoin rises, everything follows a few days or a few weeks later. So it's not necessarily bad news. It's just it's showing that it's Bitcoin that is driving everything else up. Although we notice that some very good news are coming from Solana and Chainlink, for example. If you go to the price of Bitcoin, today is very close to the 35K mark, and we see that we did touch it and then come back down a little bit. If we look at the full week, we also see that we went all the way up to 35, almost 36K, and then now we're down to the 34.6, 40, 34.7K, which is all good news. Ethereum, on the other hand, is a little bit more shy. So it did reach the 1800s, but now the top 1800s, and now we're at 1814. As I mentioned, Solana is doing very well. Solana, if we look at the monthly progression chart, we see that it's really going on a very beautiful trajectory, and that's driven by many factors that we will cover later today. Chainlink is another super well driven by a lot of real world asset tokenization, and we see that a Chainlink token is doing very well, and it's because it's not just a token, it has a real utility in their ecosystem. If you think about what's going on in the market, we usually want to compare the transactions happening on Ethereum versus transactions happening in all the layer twos. Looking at something like L2 Beat that shares a lot of valuable data on layer twos, we see that Arbitrum 1 is still dominating with 6.6 billion actually total value locked, followed by the OP stack and then Base, ZK Sync Era, DYDX, and it keeps going down. The important factor that we usually want to look at is the scaling factor. This factor is pretty simple to understand. What it means is, how much volume of transactions is happening on the L2s versus on the main Ethereum blockchain layer one itself. And it went all the way up to 6 about a few weeks ago. Now it's hovering around the 5, so we're at 4.65x. This actually means that there's 4.65 times more transactions happening on layer twos than on the L1 Ethereum itself, which is the main purpose of the creation of L2s and pushing most of the transaction volumes on those L2s. So this is a very high level, very fast recap on how the industry is doing. We'll be doing it every week, obviously. So the idea is really to understand how on a macro level things are going, and we will be monitoring actually the end of the bear cycle and the start of the bull run. We don't expect it to happen overnight, but we'll keep looking at the data and the charts to make sure that we're not missing any valuable information. Right. And now we can start covering the different subjects. This week was an important week because Bitcoin turned 15, actually. The first white paper was published on October 31st, 2008. Since then, the token is up like a ginormous percentage. I can barely read this. It's actually 3,444,449,989,839%. So it's 3.5 billion percent. What it means is, had you invested $5 back then, you would have 173 millions today. That's a pretty good return on investment. But the chances of us commoners being aware and also believing that it would have this valuation is similar to winning the lottery. So no regrets here. As long as you guys are listening here, it means that you understand the importance of crypto, the importance of Bitcoin as the main token or the main cryptocurrency out there, and the importance of potentially buying in a very slow pace if you don't have millions in funds, because the value of Bitcoin will keep increasing over time, and we all know that. That being said, the other major news this week has to be SBF. So what can you tell us about SBF, Josh?
So Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, has finally been found guilty on all counts. I think there was 8 in total, every single one. So good news for everyone involved. There's already talk of how crypto is going to go soaring as a result of that now, and how markets are going to go up, up, and up, which let's just remain calm a bit and see. But yeah, good news so far. Instead of basically trading with customers' funds and money, he's instead going to be trading cigarettes and bars of soap for the foreseeable future. So yeah, we'll just have to see how that develops. And obviously, other people that he was working with and like in collusion with as well. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I was surprised looking at his defense strategy. He thought that he can just like talk his way out, but it did not work for him, obviously. The
No.
charges were pretty serious, and he's found guilty on all of them. Not even like a subset of them, it's
No.
all the charges. So he's in deep ish, we can say. And everybody's kind of relieved because he was really doing like bad things to the industry. He was trying to push like regulators in the US to force DEXs out, or to force DEXs to implement KYC. The only like reason for him was to kind of kill competition from decentralized exchanges to actually increase visibility and reach for his FTX exchange. And fortunately, we know what happened a few days after that, and then he's locked, and for a few years at least. That's what we can bet on.
Yeah, I mean, with his defense, I think in a way he's still living in his bubble, right? He's been living in this crypto bubble for the last few years where he can do anything he wants and he'll get away with it. And
Yeah.
he's just been punched in the face by the real world. So
Yeah, he said something actually funny when he was asked about where did some funds go and move within like in his internal ecosystem. He said, "You guys know that money is very fungible. Like the dollar that was here could be there, but it doesn't really matter because money is fungible." It shows how lax he was on the regulations he should have put in place and make sure that like people's money was protected, because that he was playing with other people's money, and it's the people who lost a lot of money. Fortunately, if the bull market comes back, I think people will recover a good portion of what they lost, but it did hurt the whole industry, and it really like it was the worst. Like a few weeks after we knew about the FTX debacle last year. Now it's all behind us. He's going to be in jail for good, and let's focus on the future, and the future is bright.
Yeah, showers will never be the same again.
Yep.
But yeah, enough about SBF. He's plagued our newsfeed for a long time. What else have we got? PayPal subpoenaed. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so this is not again like a well, not a surprise again, coming from the SEC. This is not a trial yet. It's just like the SEC is subpoenaing the PayPal over the release of their stablecoin, the PYUSD. Although PayPal did things very properly in a very like a legit way, the stablecoin was launched in August in collaboration with Paxos, and it's fully backed. They are super transparent about their reserves, and it's fully regulated under the New York law. But still, the SEC is still flexing their muscles and going after anything crypto. They definitely have an agenda, but we can't really guess what that agenda is. For now, PayPal is collaborating. We don't think that there will be any real major like legal issues for PayPal because they've done things the proper way. The SEC is just asking them to share documentation to prove that they've done it that way. So I think that it should be just fine in the next few days or weeks. But talking about legal issues, our friends from SafeMoon cannot say that they're fine. Can
No,
you tell us a little bit more about it?
not so safe, and not going to the moon, I think. Maybe a sunset, but who knows? So yeah, I mean, they were valued at $5.7 billion at their peak. And since then, they basically spent the money on McLarens and luxury houses because what the fuck else are you gonna do? And now they've been arrested by the Department of Justice. We don't have a lot more information than that at the time, I don't think. So we're just gonna have to see how it plays out. But it's not exactly looking like a bright horizon.
Yeah, it doesn't look great for them. And it's also a lesson to many others that thought it was too easy to just like pump and dump and flex with their Lamborghinis and luxury cars and luxury homes. So like the governments are here and the blockchain records everything. So I see these like what they look like bad news, but I see them as good news for the industry because we're getting rid of the bad actors and we're showing it to the whole planet. So any stupid guy that thinks that he can just pump a token and dump over people's heads will think twice now because they know that the Justice Department might come after them even months or years after they've done so. So like think twice before pumping and dumping. Talking about pumping, Solana is pumping, but for different reasons. Solana has been struggling since the FTX debacle. By the way, FTX owns and still owns 55.8 million SOL tokens. That is huge. 42.2 million of those, like 56, are locked and vested until 2027 or 2028. So there's no real risk of someone acquiring those 58 million or 56 million SOLs and then dumping them on the market. But it just shows the reason why the SOL token tanked right after FTX went down, because they were the main holders of that token. The value of all those tokens is around the $2.2 billion today. It could go higher if the Solana token keeps going high. And that is a good news because some creditors might even start being in the money if this keeps going up. This means that the value of the money that got lost by FTX and Alameda could be compensated by the growth in value of a few of the tokens that FTX invested in. And even in fiat companies, like in AI, for example, where they invested in an early stage AI companies, and then some of the giants came after, and the valuation of those companies went super high, which means that FTX like shares also went higher, and FTX has more money to pay back people. But this is supposed to be talking about Solana, not about FTX. The reasons why Solana is soaring is they've been doing things properly. Like there's a lot of demand for their tokens coming from partnerships with like the likes of MasterCard or even like e-commerce brands. And they've been smart enough because what they focused on is really the speed of transactions. So how many transactions they can do per second and the security. One of the cool features of Solana as well is they have obviously parallelization, which means like transactions could be processed at the same time in parallel, but they also have what they call like isolation. What this means is if one of the dApps on the Solana ecosystem is being super popular and consuming a lot of like resources, then the gas fees to transact with that specific dApp will become super high and super expensive, but it should not affect the rest of the ecosystem. And that feature alone makes sure that even if someone creates a new super like attractive and super viral app or dApp, and that really picks up in volume and really increases the gas fees for it, it's not going to affect the other apps or dApps on the Solana ecosystem. And if you combine that with the fact that it's using like a distributed, like a parallel execution and super secure, that makes Solana super attractive for the likes of MasterCard, for example. So Solana is coming back from the issues they had following FTX last year. And now we're following closely what their next moves are. Solana is also taking a different bet compared to Ethereum or Cosmos, where their vision is this monolithic chain that has everything under control, compared to Ethereum, for example, that focuses on mainly security and decentralization and relies on layer twos to actually achieve scale and more transactions per second. What Solana did sacrifice is the decentralization part of things in terms of like choosing their own like validation node partners and really centralizing most of their security processes to keep a better grip on that. And they mainly bet on transaction speed and on security. And it seems that their bet is pretty good.
And the chain also hasn't gone down for like at least 3 days now as well. So they're doing
pretty good. That's good news. Yeah, that's actually that's the issue when you have one monolithic chain. So like if it goes down, it goes down for everybody too. So it's not like just like one layer two that is like such struggling. It's like as if the whole Ethereum network is down, which would be a huge issue.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've covered, I think, enough of like DeFi / legal issues on the Web3 market. I think we need to save some time for GameFi. So how about you tell us about what's going on in the Web3 gaming industry today or this week?
Yeah, so I mean, if you take a look around, there's actually quite a lot happening, but we're just going to focus on a few of the main headlines. One thing I do want to note separately is that there's a lot of successful raises happening in Web3 gaming at the moment, which is really exciting to see when you consider the current state of the market and how many startups are out there trying to raise funds at the moment and struggling. But the Web3 gaming industry seems to be doing quite well, and there's a lot of major Web2 players looking to enter the space. That leads into Shrapnel, who are pretty renowned Web3 game that I've been building for a while. They come from Neon Machine. That's the publisher who worked on things like Halo, COD, Star Wars, some small names. They've raised 20 million, led by Polychain Capital. And I also heard the economy design on that game is very good as well.
It had to be very good. It was actually done by us, by Economics Design. Shrapnel is one of our clients, and it was one of the most challenging and most interesting projects, because their approach to game economics was completely the opposite to the traditional GameFi players. They came from like a very serious gaming background, so that's also the experience they brought to Web3. So I'm super bullish about Shrapnel and super excited about their future. And I'm super happy that we had a chance of helping them design their Web3 economy.
100%.
Talking about Web3 economies in gaming, I think we wouldn't be here if actually Axie Infinity and Sky Mavis did not open the door and show the path for everybody. And I've been following their tokens lately, and they've been they've been doing pretty well, both of them. And Axie released a few different modes lately, and their community is super active. And this week they announced that they actually signed a partnership with one of the global huge gaming studios. It's called Act Games. It's a South Korean studio known for actually utilizing Japanese IP. We know how big South Korea is in gaming, same as Japan. We know that Sky Mavis is potentially the biggest, or at least the first, but one of the biggest in Web3 gaming. So it is the first move to bring Act Games to Web3. They will be launching games on the Ronin network, obviously, and we will see how that unfolds and potentially brings new players to Web3 gaming.
Yeah. On the news of more gaming, we've got Gem Digital, who have invested $10 million in a PvP MOBA-type game, thinking like Riot's League of Legends. It's a very niche genre. It's called Magic Craft, and they've been building in Web3 for a while, and they're now ready to take the next steps in their development with the backing of Gem Digital. So it's pretty exciting to see what they do there. I've been playing League for quite a while, so I might have to delve into that one a bit personally, but I'm pretty excited to see what Magicraft managed to do with the new funding.
Yeah, and I think we've spoken enough about Solana, but they also just announced the launch.
Solana they also announced, over here, yeah.
And I'm really not a Solana fan. I don't even hold any soul. So, but I have to give them my hat top, because they've been building properly, and they've been everything has been showing the news. This week they also announced that they are launching a beta called Game Shift, which is a platform to streamline the process of blockchain game development. So we've seen a lot of tooling being pushed lately for game development on chain, and Solana did not miss that boat. Obviously, they just launched Game Shift as a beta to really make it way easier for game developers to launch Web3 games on the Solana chain. So kudos Solana again.
That's interesting, because you don't usually think of Solana when you think of premier gaming blockchains. Solana's not usually top of that list, but at the same time, Web3 gaming is quite widely regarded as one of the huge sectors to come out in the next few years. So it's interesting.
Everybody
that they've made that.
Everybody wants a piece of that pie.
Yeah, yeah.
They made the Game Shift, and
they made that
Game
Shift. Yeah, I had to get something in there. And then I think the last bit of news from this area is a name everybody should be familiar with, Animoca, making another push in another sector, as they always do. This time, they've actually acquired a Web3 streaming platform called Azerus. They were one of their earliest investors, and now they've gone the next step and said, look, we recognize you're going to do well, we invested in you, and now we're just going to buy you completely. So well done us, we made a good investment, and now we're going to buy you out fully. So in a sense, giving themselves a pat on the back, but yeah, that'd be interesting to see what direction they push it in, because obviously it's not just gaming, but the streaming side of it as well, which will be pivotal to Web 3. It has been to Web 2 in the last few years.
Yeah, they've been like doing the right actions. Like they invest in games now in streaming. They're looking to build the esports like ecosystem in Web3 as well. So they know what they're doing, and they actually like the major like a major force in Web3 gaming.
For sure.
Like because they don't just invest, they also give a lot of help to their portfolio. They have this holistic approach, which makes them different from other types of investors. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening or watching this weekly recap from Economics Design. We will be hosting this every Friday, every week, and giving you an update on what's going on in the Web3 industry as a whole, from DeFi to infrastructure to Web3 gaming, obviously. And if you liked this content, don't forget to follow us or subscribe on Spotify or on YouTube or any channel you're watching this or listening to this. And from your host, Femi and Josh, thank you again.
Cheers.
And then we'll talk to you next week.
Peace. Take care.